It's the Satellite Sisters.
Hi, this is Leanne Dolan.
I'm Monica Dolan.
This is Sheila.
I'm Liz Dolan.
This is Julie.
Real sisters, real life, real conversation.
Come on over, down to the corner, my sisters and my brothers. There for one another, won't you? Come on over, man, I know you wanna let yourself go.
Tackling the world one cup of coffee at a time. The Satellite Sisters.
The Satellite Sisters, welcome to the show. It is Sunday, November 2nd. Okay, who can believe it's November? Nobody. I'm Liz Dolan. I am in Santa Monica, California, joined by my sister Julie in Dallas, Texas. Julie, how are you?
Glad to be here, Liz.
Yep. And we have a special guest, our Satellite Sister Next Generation, our niece, Megan Dolan Saparita. Megan, welcome back to Satellite Sisters.
Thank you. So happy to be here today.
Well, we were thinking about you about a lot of things over the last couple of weeks, and we realized it had been months since we had you on the show. So here you are. Sheila is not going to be able to make it this week, but she did want to send in a news bulletin about her daughter, Ruthie. I know you guys saw this on Ruthie's Facebook page, but last weekend, Sheila was telling us on the show that Ruthie was interviewing for a job with an A-list director, to be named later, right? Where we will only name the A-list director if Ruthie actually gets the job.
Right.
But then the news that we got, which we didn't expect, was this week on Ruthie's Facebook page, she posted this incredibly exciting news. And she said, "Incredibly honored and thrilled that Spike Lee has chosen little old me to be the recipient of the Sandra Efraimova Film Production Fund for my thesis film. I'm ready to get to work and show you guys a dance film I'm very excited about. I'm really incredibly thankful to Spike for pushing me and believing in me. Look out, realness is coming." So that is super exciting that Ruthie won a prize, and she won it from Spike Lee. And that is...
Who she calls Spike.
Who she calls Spike, exactly.
They call him Mr. Lee.
That is
Spike Lee.
What do you think, Megan? Like, Ruthie is your age. You guys are, like, cousins there in the New York scene. Pretty exciting for Ruthie, huh?
It's super exciting. I'm so proud of her and so excited for her because I know that she's been working so hard. I actually went to see her film, one of her thesis projects, The Charms, when she did that production. I think it was last winter. And it was amazing. She's so talented. And I know she has a close relationship with Spike. Spike, now I can call him Spike.
Yes, you can.
So I just think it's awesome. I think she's so deserving, and I cannot wait to see what she does.
Yes, so super exciting. We wanted to pass along that news. The news on the job interview, by the way, is that she was interviewed by the current assistant. So apparently she has to work her way up the chain before she gets to even be interviewed by the principals in this situation. Anyway, so Sheila was busy this weekend. Monica also sends her best. She was busy. And Leanne is working a bunch of weekends this time of year. So that's why it's us. I think this is a pretty awesome threesome, though. So, all right. Megan, last time you were on the show, you had just bought a new house, which was your first ever house. You got married about a year ago. Then you and Greg bought a house. So how's it going? And now you're starting to celebrate the holidays in your house.
Yes, exactly. We just had our first exciting holiday, Halloween. It's going great. Yeah, I think last time that we spoke, we had either just put an offer in or just got accepted, and we did what we've been calling the coast-to-coast move on Long Island. So we moved from the South Shore to the North Shore.
Uh-huh.
From a small apartment on the beach up to a town called Northport, New York, that, believe it or not, is directly across Long Island Sound from Westport.
Which is where you grew up, which is very nice. And that must be very nice for you and for your parents, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly. So it's really exciting. The house is an older house, but was, you know, the people we bought it from were antiquers and collectors, and it was just in great shape. So really, we just painted and moved our very little bit of furniture from our tiny apartment in, and that's pretty much where we are.
So it's very spacious inside because a lot of room, not a lot of furniture.
Right, exactly. So that's what we're doing slowly. Somehow, however, the garage, which is, you know, the kind of man cave right now, somehow a lot of accessories and things like that have ended up in there. You know, one of the first times I went in there, I said, oh, when did we get this surfboard rack? And my husband said, oh, I got it for my birthday. I said, oh, that's so nice. Who gave it to you? Well, I did.
Yeah, you're going to have to be watching the Home Depot charges from now on, Megan. You know, it just somehow things, it's always on sale. Mm-hmm.
You can't expect him to live without a surfboard rack, though, Megan. Come on.
No, weren't they supposed to go on the ground? But our really exciting news is that we've been planting grass. So we've been literally watching grass grow, and it's very exciting.
You've really turned a corner. So how was Halloween in your neighborhood? Do you have one of those neighborhoods where there's a lot of kids, a lot of trick-or-treating, busy?
We do. It was busy. I mean, I wouldn't say we got more than like 30 or 40, definitely nothing like Leon, but I was so excited. I mean, when it turned 5 o'clock, I ran out of work. I flew home to the point where I was driving down the street saying to kids, you can come back to our house. So it was really, really fun.
Now, what kind of candy did you go with, Megan? What was your candy strategy for Halloween?
Well, I just bought assorted chocolate candy because in case we have some left over, you know, that's what we need here. But I was told by one of the trick-or-treaters when I put the bowl out, he looked at me and said, well, we're getting a lot of Kit Kats this year. Okay, well, take some peanut M&Ms then.
That's interesting. Okay, Kit Kat, back in fashion. I kind of like to hear that. So, Julie, how about Halloween with your gang? You've got the
I have the
young grandchildren.
Three grandchildren. So I went over there to their house. So they were going out with a couple of their, you know, parents and school friends to trick-or-treat in their neighborhood. And I was manning the front door while they were out trick-or-treating. One observation I had is I have listened to my 7-year-old granddaughter and my 5-year-old grandson talk nonstop for a year about Halloween, about what they were going to wear, what they were going to do, what costumes. First Alice was going to be a vampire, then she was going to be a peacock, and then she was going to be a vampire peacock, and, you know, she wasn't going to be a princess, and Benjamin was going to be Darth Vader, or he was going to be a stormtrooper, or he was going to be both. They just constant talk. They were so excited for Halloween. And I clocked it. They were out trick-or-treating for 1 hour and 15 minutes, you know, with their parents and their friends, their little brother Peter. They had a blast. They came back with candy, and it was all over. I mean, a year's worth of planning. And really, it was 1 hour and 15 minutes. And they loved every minute of it. And they immediately started talking about, well, next year, I think I'm going to wear this as a costume. I don't know if you remember that, but it is it's a pretty good holiday. You don't have to do much to have a super duper time on Halloween. And they really did. We did have one sort of incident that happened a little later. You know, they're in a nice neighborhood, lots of families, lots of kids. There are plenty of kids out on the street. But because Nick and Vera, my son and daughter-in-law, they have the three kids and they needed to, you know, to get everyone ready for bed, around 7 or 7:30, they just took all their remaining Halloween candy and they put it in a big bowl. Like they have a big pasta bowl and they put that out on the front step for people just to help themselves. You know, whatever they wanted to do. Take one, take two, take five. They didn't care. Well, the next morning they got up and someone had taken the pasta bowl. Now, what is the circumstance under which you would steal a pasta bowl, a large ceramic pasta bowl? Okay, are you a parent and a child trick-or-treating and the parent just takes the bowl in front of the child? Or are you a group of, like, preteens? What are you going to do with a giant pasta bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Who took that?
I wouldn't be surprised if they find the pasta bowl, like, ditched in some nearby bushes or something. That's what I would guess. Like some 12-year-olds thought that would be hilarious to take the whole bowl. And then they got about a block and they thought, we're not carrying this bowl around.
I know.
So they dumped the candy into their bags and ditched the bowl. So
apparently there was no candy. I mean, they must have run out of candy. I don't know. I think the bowl was empty and they just stole the empty bowl. So my son is looking, he's on the search to see if they had like smashed it somewhere. He hasn't found it, but that was an unusual twist to Halloween. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
definitely the preteens though.
I don't think that was a parent and a child. I think that would be, right?
No, that's a roving band of kids together that just think they're right on the verge of vandalism, but not quite. So This was edgy enough to make them, remember one of the fun things about Halloween, at least this is the way I felt, was just being out alone in the dark. It brings out some of your wilder tendencies. I mean, not when you're Alice and Benjamin's age, but when you're like 11, 12, you feel very edgy out alone at night running around, especially, if you don't quite know all the people in the neighborhood. We used to go trick-or-treating in our cousin's neighborhood, Julie, remember? So we didn't really know anyone in that neighborhood. So you could really misbehave if you wanted to, because the parents didn't know who you were.
I think very little of that actually goes on anymore, Liz, the Halloween of your childhood. Now it's pretty regulated, I mean, most people are out with their parents, or some of the older kids are at parties, because the idea that you can just run free and wild in a strange, dark neighborhood, those days are gone, Liz.
Oh, okay? That's too bad. Right.
I have to say, though, we got a couple groups of those preteens, like, 14-year-old boys, and they knew they were too old because they showed up when I opened the door. They had smirks on, like, oh gosh, she's gonna know that I just got a mask from my brother and I didn't have a costume. One kid was just carrying a FedEx box. They said, well, what are you? He said, I'm a box. So they knew they were too old.
But did you give them candy anyway, Megan?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you gotta reward the effort, getting out and about.
Okay, well, we'll have to plan for next year, Megan, and I think you can really talk to Leon about Halloween decorations. Start now. They'll be on sale this weekend, so you really can score some good things for your front yard, okay?
Yes, that's right.
All right, but Megan, I'm so happy you're on the show because I saw there were a couple of stories in the news, and I really wanted to get as the next generation, I wanted to get your take on this. One was, this time of year, of course, it's Parents Weekend on a lot of college campuses, but they had an article in the paper about many employers, I don't know many, but some employers are now organizing and sponsoring Parents Day at work. That, big companies like LinkedIn, Virgin, Google, Northwestern Mutual, British Airways, all have Bring Your Parents to Work Day. And Megan, we know your parents. Your father is our brother. And, we were just wondering what you thought of the idea of, like, of bringing your parents to work, because I know your parents would probably come.
Would totally come.
Oh, they would love that. That's what I was just thinking. I think that works out great for the parents. I think that's really driven, probably oriented towards them. But I have to say, though, when I was a prosecutor at the DA's office, both of my parents did come to watch trials. Now, that's not, your typical office environment. But they did come to my work and, watch what I did, so.
Actually, that is very cool. That's one good reason to have a daughter who's a prosecutor. You could just sit there all day and watch her do her thing.
Yes.
So I'm sure they enjoyed that. And your mother is also a lawyer. So was there any conversation afterwards about how you did something? Did she ever give you any legal advice? I'm asking because I hope not, Megan.
No, definitely didn't.
Okay. All right. Good. Julie, right, so, can I just say, I can't imagine anything worse than bring your parents to work day. I mean, maybe it's a generational difference, but, like, can you imagine mom and dad, like, even even 10 years ago, like taking them to, it would just be, you know, I feel like anytime we were ever like with mom in a work environment, she totally misbehaved. Like she did. You remember one time, actually, yes. Megan, we were with your mother, our satellite sister-in-law, Mary, and we were actually doing a series of appearances with Oprah. And we were like Oprah's opening act at a big live event in Liberty State Park in New Jersey. So your mother, Mary, very kindly brought our mother, Edna, because we were working. And our mom was totally briefed, like, we are working. Do not try to talk to us. We are backstage. Do not try to come there. Please, we will meet you afterwards once it's all over. And we thought we had this all under control because we had your mom in charge of security. Oh, no, that was not to be. There was a moment during the show where there was a break in the action and we see our mom, like, walking towards the front. Next thing you know, she's just busting past the security guard to go backstage. And she's like, at this point, she's like an 80-year-old woman, or maybe she was 75 at the time.
Yeah.
No, nobody's going to, like, tackle a 75-year-old Edna Dolan. And so she just magically appears backstage. Like, where... They're like, what? How, the security here is so tight. And she's like, well, I just wanted to say hello. So
I think she brought us stuff too, Liz. You know, she had a little gift bag full of stuff that she brought for us. Again, which was another rule. Do not bring us anything. So yeah, mom and dad would be bad. But Megan, in your current position, could you see would it be kind of interesting for your parents to see the corporate environment where you work now?
Well, I mean, I am in court a lot still, so I could see them definitely coming when I'm on trial now. But my current office is very much more corporate. You are right, yeah. Than it was at the DA's office, you know. So I don't think that would really fly.
Okay. So you don't see it happening. I just don't think this is probably a good trend. You know, I mean, I'm suspicious of companies that want their employees to bring their parents to work. It just, I think it's a lack of focus there. I don't know what's going on. Okay.
It seems weird.
Yeah. That's why I think they want to get something out of it. LinkedIn wants, maybe they're trying to sign up the parents on LinkedIn as well. I don't know. There is some ulterior motive. Okay.
Julie, yes. Have either of your sons ever invited you to watch them work?
No. No, they haven't. I'm usually instructed to just stay out, either to stay in the car, not get out of the car, or my son who works in New York, just stay on the street. He didn't even tell me the address of his company for a couple of years. But then I had to ship something to him. So I had to look it up.
When your son, Will, was working at the Museum of Modern Art, as a tour guide.
Yes.
He actually gave us a tour. So that was a fun day at work with your son, Will.
Yes, that was a fun day at work. And that was great. Yes. But yes, that was. So there are some exceptions. But again, I think it's the office environment.
I understand
what you're saying, Megan. You really don't want your parents coming to your cubicle or whatever you got going with. Okay, Megan, Megan and Liz, here's another trend, a human resource trend that I would really like your take on. And it's the workplace reading assignment. So stick with me. These are companies where your boss comes in and says, I would like you to read this work of fiction. And everyone in our work group is going to read it. And then we are going to discuss it together. And we might even hire a local professor to come in and enlighten us about what this, you know, some other aspects of this book. Do you think this is a good idea? Would you like to be in essentially, like a book club with your fellow employees, but have an assigned reading assignment from your boss? So
I'll let Megan go first on this one.
I definitely would not into that. I think that sounds horrible. And I also think that would be very distracting from the job. If they're going to take time out of the workday to do that, I feel like that's counterproductive. But then if they're going to ask you to go, like, let's say to an evening book club, then that's cutting into your personal time. But you kind of have to do it if your boss is assigning the book and saying, oh, we want you to participate in this. So I am not for that. I do not like that idea.
Okay, Liz, what do you think? You're a boss. You're a boss.
What do you think about, like, assigning? They gave the example of a work group that read Snow Falling on the Cedars. Did you ever read that book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My book group read it, which is, you know, lovely people I spend time with by choice once a month so that we can get away from work and talk about something other than work issues. So, I mean, that's why you have friends, is you can do these things with your friends. Instead, in the work environment, I just don't understand what the goal would be. I have been in a work environment where occasionally a boss will send out a book that is somehow related to work, like a book about, I don't know, leadership or teamwork or something. And they'll just say, hey, I read this. This is interesting. You should look at it. Or something, you know, more often than not, it's a magazine article, which is about as ambitious as they should really get with these things. But I can't, for the life of me, think of any benefit of sitting around, at least in my workplace, talking. No, I'm not for that. No, I can't. I'm trying to stretch and I guess, you know.
They said, well, it's enriching or, you know, in this
case. Yeah, I think I'll be doing my enriching on my own time. Thank you. I think that's why I leave work and go home and have a life. So believe me, I'm totally for people being enriched. But enriched at work under a boss's scrutiny, no, I'm not really feeling that at all. How about you?
Okay. No, I think it's sort of a really dumb idea and also dangerous that when, you know, because it's a work of fiction, you might get into discussions that might not be appropriate in the workplace. It just could be all kinds of trouble. And I think what you and Megan said, that it's just more work for you to do, to read this book. Okay. Right.
Yeah. And kind of takes all the fun out of it. You know, because the whole point of a book group is you're sitting around after work, you're, you know, there's some food, there's some wine,
it's really the wine.
Yes, it is.
You don't have any of that in the workplace. Yeah.
Okay, but I did see an amazing, amazing book group list in the paper this weekend. This is in the Sunday Book Review of the New York Times. And the way my schedule works, I will have to admit that I read a lot more book reviews than I read actual books. You know, you can kind of get the gist of it from the reviews. And anyway, so today in the book review, there is an article entitled Bruce Springsteen by the Book. And so it's actually an interview with Bruce Springsteen about what he likes to read, you know, sort of history of reading, what turned him on originally. So anything with Bruce Springsteen, I have an automatic Google alert set. So that popped up like Friday. I read this, and this is an unbelievably impressive list of books that Bruce Springsteen has read. So I just thought I would give you guys the highlights and see if you continue to do this level of adult learning. First of all, the reason he was talking about it is because he has a new picture book out called Outlaw Pete. But he particularly likes reading about cosmology. How about you guys? Cosmology, is that what you're doing in your book group, Julie? Anything on cosmology?
No, but mainly cosmetics.
Cosmetology.
Cosmopolitan.
You're reading Cosmopolitan. Good for you, Meg. Good for you. Anyway, he said, I find men and women struggling to answer the deepest questions we can ask freeing. Okay, good for you, Bruce. So what book is he currently reading? What did he just finish? He just finished Moby Dick, which he said scared me off for a long time due to the hype of its difficulty. I found it's a beautiful boy's adventure story and not that difficult to read. Warning, you will learn more about whales than you ever wish to know. So that was good. Okay, Moby Dick, that's a classic. But then when they ask about his favorite novelists of all time, Julie, you will appreciate this. He said, I like the Russians, the Chekhov short stories, Tolstoy, Dostoevsky. I've never read any of them until the past 4 years, but found them to be thoroughly psychologically modern. Personal favorites, The Brothers Karamazov, which you have always called The Brothers Scare My Eyes Off.
Scare My Eyes Off.
And Anna Karenina. So, okay, we can all agree those are some pretty good choices, huh?
Yeah, well, The Boss Has Soul is that.
Yes. Yes. I know, but it comes from somewhere. He's got that deep Russian sense of suffering. Now I understand. It's not just a New Jersey sense of suffering. It's a Russian sense of suffering, which is totally deep. But then how about this? They asked him, like, what book most influenced your decision to become a songwriter and musician or contributed to your artistic development? Now, this one really surprised me. He said, I skipped most of college, which of course we knew. I skipped most of college becoming a road musician, so I didn't begin reading seriously until 28 or 29. Then it was Flannery O'Connor, right? Flannery O'Connor. Now, that came out of left field for me. The short stories of Flannery O'Connor, he believes, what did he say about them? He said, they landed hard on me. And here's something I say about books all the time. He said, you could feel within them the unknowability of God, the intangible mysteries of life that confounded her characters, and which I find by my side every day. Wow. Okay. All right. Sure. Yeah, I'm very impressed by that. So then final detail I'll share with you from this story. He was asked, you're hosting a literary dinner with three writers. Who's invited? All right. That's a tough one, right? Like, that's one of those embarrassing dinner party questions.
I'm thinking all whoever he picks, they are so psyched to be having dinner with Bruce Springsteen. You know, that's, it's really, I was flipping it the other way. But whoever he picks, they'll be like, I'm going to dinner with the boys. You know, so go ahead.
Well, okay, well, one guy's dead, Tolstoy, so he's not going to make dinner. But Philip Roth was on the list. Okay. And then the next one was Keith Richards. Because he said Keith Richards, you know, Keith Richards did that amazing memoir, that autobiography that Monica loved and recommended here on Satellite Sisters. And then he added one extra writer. He added Bob Dylan. So there's a dinner party for you. Bruce Springsteen, Philip Roth, Keith Richards, Tolstoy, and Bob Dylan. Like, can you imagine you look across a restaurant and you see that gang together? That's a book club. Like, not your colleagues, not the people you have to work with. No, I'm going to dinner with Philip Roth, Keith Richards, Tolstoy, and Bob Dylan. So, not surprisingly, once again, the boss does not disappoint. So I would recommend, like, say you didn't have time to go to college if you were off doing, or say you were studying something, you know, like biology, which none of us studied. This would be an excellent adult syllabus. If you read the whole story, honestly, if you read the stuff Bruce Springsteen has read recently, you would be one of the most well-informed and enlightened people around. So I will post that on the website if you want to check that out. But interesting and I guess not totally surprising, but I was thinking, okay, all of you Brooklyn hipsters, sorry, Megan, Brooklyn hipsters who think that, like, that Bruce Springsteen is not cool, I beg to differ. You might want to check out this list.
Yeah, they'll think much differently now after this article.
I would expect them to, yes.
But Liz, you're not doing much bedtime reading at your place lately, are you? I mean, you're no longer lying in bed with a big pile of books, are you? Because could you fill us in on what's going on, Shay Liz?
Here's the thing. Okay. Southern California is just such a fantastic place to live. But especially during a drought, I got to say, because it never rains in Southern California. It just never, ever rains. And like for the last 3 years, nothing. We got nothing. Until Friday night, Halloween night. It was really like the moment the kids went home and the lights got turned off in most places, it started to pour, which is very unusual. But actually very nice. So I was laying in bed, like you would wake up occasionally during the night and hear the pitter-patter of rain on the roof. And you think, ah, that is so relaxing and so nice. But then as the early morning rolled around, like 5 a.m., I realized the pitter-patter I was hearing was actually inside my bedroom. It was inside, maybe even on my bed. I'm like, wait a minute, that does sound awfully close. And I slowly opened my eyes it was just as the sun was coming up, so I could see that a giant leak had developed in my bedroom ceiling. Okay, this is just totally not fair that it rains once every 3 years, if you're lucky here. But when it does, you find out whether or not you have a leak in your ceiling. So I got up and, you know, there were buckets all over. I put out towels. Then I got on a stool and with a mop sort of pressed against the ceiling, like a huge bubble was forming. You know what that looks like, right?
And you know what that means when you have a huge...
Yes, yes.
Megan, you know, as a new homeowner, we want to make sure you know, like if you see a huge bubble forming in your ceiling... You know you got water there, right?
Oh, gosh. And now I can't just call my super.
Yes, right, right. No, me neither. So, like, I got up there, and with a mop, I pressed ever so gently against the bubble, and a whole gusher came out into the bucket, which is what I wanted, Julie. It was the right idea. So I assumed that by kind of draining the wound, so to speak, I was going to be better positioned for the rest of the day. And by the way, it had stopped raining. By the time it was like, this is 8 a.m. now. So the rain has stopped. The sun has come out. I've now drained my bedroom ceiling into a bucket, and it looks terrible because there are big cracks, you know, sort of along the seaming lines in the drywall or the roof or something, but I feel like I've got a grip on this. So then I go out, and I do a bunch of things during the day. I come back early in the afternoon, you know, it's still good, but now some of the plaster has started to droop even more, like cracking and drooping, but hanging from the ceiling. So
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
I know.
But I love the fact that you just left it. You know, yeah. You went out and did other stuff. It's not like you stopped what you had to
do. No, no.
The contractor called your insurance company or called somebody.
No,
you just left it and moved on.
I did. Really.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful, yeah, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, you know we love talking about FrameBridge, don't we?
We do. Because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting FrameBridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already FrameBridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the FrameBridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
What was to be done at this point? It wasn't so much of an emergency that I couldn't, you know, I knew that the roofer wasn't going to be able to come until Monday anyway, you know, I assumed, like, it wasn't death defying in any way. So it was when I got back at about 6 o'clock that things had taken a really terrible turn for the worse. I guess the plaster was so inundated, was so completely soaked through with water that I was in my bathroom. I was getting ready to go out. A friend of mine was having like what she billed as the first big dinner party of the holiday season, right? Which for me will probably be the only big dinner party of the holiday season. So like, and she said we had to be festive, right? So I'm getting dressed up. I bought new sparkly earrings, and I'm in my bathroom, and I hear this crash, and in a big section of my bedroom ceiling, all the plaster, all the paint just crashed, mainly onto the floor, but a little bit onto the foot of my bed. And now it's like this gaping wound in my ceiling that, you know, can I just remind you, I just finished redecorating my whole place. Like last week, Megan, I finished everything. Literally last week. Oh. I had just completely repainted this room and every room in my place. The carpet is completely new. Like just put it down last month. So now you're right, Julie. There'll be no laying in bed, reading books, just, you know, staring out the window. I'm just staring up at the ceiling thinking, okay, what do we do now? So at some point, of course, I do have to alert the authorities in my building, but as I've previously established here on Satellite Sisters, we have some HOA issues. And so the head of the HOA board, a.k.a. my downstairs neighbor, I'm just going to use the code name Captain Queeg for... now I know I have to alert Captain Queeg of what is going on. Anyway, so all of that is in motion. There's really nothing to be done. Thank goodness it probably won't rain for another 3 years. So it's not like this is... If this was happening at Monica's home in Portland, Oregon, you'd have a serious situation on your hand because the rain would come every day. That's not the scene here, but... It is ugly. Just big soaked chunks of plaster and paint. Yeah. Depressing. Even Ferris ran out of the room. Like the whole crash, he had been laying. Luckily on another part of my bed. Barely missed him.
I'm surprised Captain Queeg, the downstairs neighbor, did not complain about the roof crashing onto the floor.
You know what? I was surprised too, Julie. I expected that ring, ring. That's normally what happens the moment there's any kind of noise in my place at all, as you know. But no, she's actually been very helpful, I have to say. But not a good situation. I feel like I'm being punished for having finally cleaned and freshened up the whole place. I guess the only thing I'm grateful for is that the bedroom is the least visible room in my home, like as far as having guests over or repairing it. So it is hidden away. So it's not like if my dining room, my living room ceiling had collapsed after everything I've just done in that part of my little place, then I'd be really, really mad. But you're right. So the whole thing crashed down. I looked at it. I threw a bunch of the plaster into the bucket, and then I just went out. Then I just
shut the door and went out.
Yeah, life goes on. You know?
Okay, Liz, do not let it get you down there.
No. Yeah, like I had a party to go to, Julie. Really, what was I actually going to? No, there was nothing I could do. 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, there is nothing to be done.
Okay, Liz, well, keep us posted, because that's the problem with water is it moves.
So I know.
If it went on your bedroom, it might go to your living room.
Yes.
Okay, but you're going to let us know about that, Liz.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel like there was so much water. There was way more water than actually fell from the sky on Friday night. So that's the mystery to me, is how there could have been that much water, considering it hasn't rained in 3 years. So I'm guessing that the roof over my unit is actually the low point for the whole building.
Oh.
You know, that's what I'm guessing happened, that everything converged right over the foot of my bed.
Okay. So. Well, what would the lawyer say to do, Megan? What, do you have any advice for Aunt Liz here?
Oh, my gosh. This is so far out of my realm of professional knowledge. I have no idea. I would just call my dad and ask him what to do.
Okay, I'll call your dad.
That might work for you too.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call your dad. No, I'm sure. Yeah, I have no idea. I suppose I should alert my my home insurance people, right? So I have a lot of photos. So I have been documenting it. Anyway, so yes, I will keep you informed. There you have it. Nothing to be done.
Okay, as our sister Sheila says, keep us posted, Liz. Okay. Now, Megan, I want to turn and ask you a question, because Leon and I talked about this on an earlier podcast about when you get married, whether you should change your name or not. And this came out of the news item that a Mrs. George Clooney was getting a little backlash about taking the name Clooney, and that people felt like she should have, you know, this was a step back for feminism, that she should have just kept her, you know, her maiden name, and that she has a career and identity all of her own, and why did she do this? So anyway, Leon and I were talking about this. Leon has never taken her husband's name, although from time to time she claims she uses it. And I have tried every configuration where I didn't take my husband's name. I tried to hyphenate it, and everyone thought I was from Great Britain when I did that. I've tried everything. I tried using three names. That doesn't work. Anyway, so we wanted to ask you, next generation, what was your thinking when you got married about taking your husband's name, and what are your friends doing? What do you see as trends?
Right. I heard your conversation, and I think that, first of all, I just have to say, I'm team Amal, so she can do whatever she wants, and she can do no wrong. So Amal Clooney, that's fine. But I kind of did the opposite of what she did. I actually still use my maiden name professionally because, I was practicing for about 5 years before we got married, practicing law, and all my connections, and everybody that I know knows me as Megan Dolan. So that's the name I was admitted to the bar under. So I'm going to continue to use that professionally, but everything else I use my married name for. And that, like you said, that was the decision that I made, and I just went with it.
How's that working? Like, your friends, do they – well, your friends probably don't use your last name a lot, but you're now, like, in my – I have so many email addresses for you now. Some say Dolan, some say Saparita, even getting you on Skype this morning.
It's really confusing. It's really difficult. The good thing is I have my old email forwarded to my new email, so, no worries. Nothing's going to get bounced. But Dolan is just the best name ever. So it's just, it was hard and sad, but I really wanted to take, my husband's name when we got married. So that's what I did. And it's still a transition. I mean, it's really hard, especially not that I'm old, but I'm 30. So I've had a lot of life known as something else. And it's a really big change.
And your sister, Catherine yes. Dolan, who got married this past summer, she yes. has also taken her husband's name, correct? She's Catherine Dolan Nordenson. And is she doing the same thing yes. you're doing, where professionally she's still Catherine Dolan, or is she going full-on Nordenson?
I don't know. I think I don't know what she's going to do, actually. But the funny thing is that her husband's brother, his wife is also Catherine, so now there's two Catherine Nordensons.
Okay, that's not helpful.
I know.
And what have your friends done, Megan?
Most of my friends have changed their names when they got married. Yeah, I think most of the people that I know have changed their names completely, you know, like from bank statements to professionally to everything, have taken their husband's name. Mm-hmm. It is interesting. But yeah, that's what my friends have done.
Yeah, because your mother, I mean, really, she is obviously our generation, and she always used the three names. She Mary McGuire Dolan, but professionally, she was always Mary McGuire, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, okay. Yeah, it's complicated.
It's complicated. Really is. That is true.
The only thing that you know. Go ahead, Megan.
No, I was going to say, every piece of mail I get has a different name on it. Some of them say Megan Stolen, Megan Dapperita. I mean, it's just, it's everything is different.
Well, you just got to commit to it. I mean, I think that's the main thing. Whatever you want to do is perfectly fine. Just commit to it. So if you want two names, two identities, go for it, Megan. That's, you know, that's the way to do it. If you want one, or if you want three names, whatever you want. But just don't do the hyphen, whatever you do, because that doesn't work.
Okay.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled PROSE, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
I think if I could, I would change my name to Clooney. That would be really, who's not going to take that choice, right?
No question.
Okay, other names in the news I want to ask you about, because on a recent visit, as you're a lawyer, we were talking to you about the Oscar Pistorius trial in South Africa. Obviously, you know, the famous athlete who shot and killed his girlfriend. And how do you think... What do you think of the actual sentence in that Oscar Pistorius? So the verdict was, what was he actually found guilty of? And it seemed to us he got off with barely a slap on the wrist. But how does it seem to you, right, Megan?
No, I agree with that. I think it was surprisingly low. I think what they called it was culpable homicide, which I think would be like manslaughter here. But even on a manslaughter conviction, I think you're going to get 15 years, at least, you know, 10 to 20 years, I would think. But I think, you know, from what I've read, I think the judge said, basically she said that a reasonable person could foresee the consequence of shooting four times through the door. They could foresee that that would cause death, but she wasn't sure if Oscar... had foreseen that consequence. So to me, what that means is that the defense really did their job in confusing the issues so much that they made the judge buy their story, basically. They put, they threw everything out there, and that's exactly what the defense wants to do. They want to confuse the issues, put, you know, his traumatic past and the fact that it's a dangerous community, and they've been robbed before, and blah, 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 blah. They put all of that out there, and so you get away from the prosecution's case, which is he knew his girlfriend was in the bathroom with the door locked, and he shot four times through the door to kill her. And I think that's what the judge ultimately went with, but I think 5 years, to me, seems very low. But I think, you know, when it first came out, Leanne said a few weeks ago that if the family is saying, we think justice was served and, you know, we forgive him and it is what it is. And if they feel that way, then it's admirable, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's sad. I think it's really sad that he could do only 10 months in jail for taking that life.
Yeah. Did you ever prosecute any cases where you convicted someone, but then they got a much lighter sentence than you would have liked to see as the prosecutor?
Occasionally, although usually it would be the opposite. You know, you kind of try to have a negotiation, a plea deal prior to trial. Uh-huh. And then once you take the risk of going to trial here, obviously the sentence is ultimately up to the judge. And most, 9 times out of 10, a judge is going to hear facts at a trial that he's not going to like, and then that will affect his sentence. So it's, most of the time it does end up being higher after the trial.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Well, just wanted to clear that one up. It was very interesting. It's always interesting to see the way the justice system works in other countries, isn't it? I mean, this is your line of work. It must be fascinating to look at trials as they unfold and what the protocols are in other countries. You know, the rules are so different, like in the UK or South Africa, just in the English-speaking world,
yes.
You know, and really radically different in other parts of the world.
Right. It definitely, I find it so interesting. I even think it's interesting from state to state here in this country, how different the laws are and how different everything works. So I'm really a nerd like that. I just love it. I think it's so interesting.
Okay. All right. Let me switch gears, because as I mentioned last night, I was invited to the first party of the holiday season in my world. And this is my friend Vishere, who has a very pretty house in the Hollywood Hills. She wanted to invite all of her friends over so we could see each other before the busyness of the holiday season begins, which I think was a really nice idea. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, once the season kicks in, you have family obligations for Thanksgiving. You have all kinds of Christmas parties and things that go on for work. And then people go away. And so getting together on the 1st of November was actually a fantastic idea. So anyway, I go to this party, and one of the people I bump into is a friend of a friend, someone who I see probably once a year at various parties like this. I run into Lisa, and she's an actress, and you never know with an actress whether to ask about what are you working on now, because you never know if they have a job. It's a tough way to make a living. So anyway, I was chit-chatting with her during the cocktail portion of the evening, and I'm like, so are you up to anything interesting? And she's like, I just got back from the New York Film Festival, as a matter of fact. I was like, oh, did you see anything good? She said, well, no, my movie opened the festival. I'm like, that's fantastic, Lisa. What is your movie? And I'm thinking she's going to name some little thing that I haven't heard of. She's like, well, I'm in Gone Girl. And I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, you are? She said, I'm the mom. And I was like, you are Amy's mother? In that movie, she's like, yes, I'm Amy's mother. And so you've seen the movie, Julie, right?
Yes. Oh, I mean, that actress in the yes. mother looked familiar. It
yes.
looked someone you have seen in some other movie, but I didn't know who she was.
That's exactly.
Well, that's a big role. She had a big part. She's really good in it, too.
She is really good in it. So she plays the role of Mary Beth Elliott, who is the writer of all of the amazing Amy books. And so then, you know, really fun to talk to someone. Imagine you're an actress who's been like a working actress your whole career, and then all of a sudden you're in this blockbuster movie. She said, I got to say, it has been really fun. Now I just get invited to all kinds of things that I didn't get invited to before. She's at the New York Film Festival. It was great, and the whole cast was there. So I thought, so she is your age, Julie, because she's a couple years older than I am. And I was just thinking, you know, to work your whole career as an actress and then, like, have this one moment where everybody agrees, like, everyone in that movie was really great. Obviously, Ben Affleck and I forget the actress's name. I mean, they're the stars, but there are a lot of other really beefy roles in that movie, including the mom, Mary Beth. And so Lisa's the mom. And I said, well, that is really a pivotal role in that movie. And she has
this. Well, that's very exciting.
Yeah. She has this fantastic voice. She said, yes, Liz, it takes a mother to create a sociopath. I'm like, okay. Anyway, isn't that cool? I just thought I would pass that along. This is
amazing.
Yeah. So life in LA, you know, you never know who you're going to bump into. And some of them you even know. I was very surprised. On the sad side here in Southern California this week, we had the explosion of that Virgin Galactic rocket. And, you know, it was just a bad week for rockets, but in this case, one of the pilots died and another one is in very serious condition. And I just, you know, that whole Virgin Galactic thing, I mean, I support them trying to figure this out because science does need to keep marching forward. But as a potential passenger, I just want to ask you guys, are you interested at all in suborbital flight? Like, is that something that you would ever in a million years sign up for? Megan, let's start with you. Suborbital flight, yes or no?
I mean, I don't think I physically would be able to because I have the Dolan claustrophobia. So I can barely wear a wetsuit. So I don't think I could do it.
And Julie?
Megan's never going to be able to get in that space.
No.
You're out. Oh, no. No way. I do not want to go up that high. There's nothing up there that I want. No. I'm out, Liz. How about you?
Well, see, if you want to send me to Mars or something, like if I was actually going somewhere, I'd be interested. But this idea of just going up there and being weightless for a little while and coming back down, it just sounds like a bad boat ride where you're going to be nauseous the whole time. You know, like just like spending a lot of money to be seasick is what it feels like to me. Anyway, they're obviously experimenting. They're trying to figure this out. As I said, I support the idea of science really figuring it out and private industry being involved in the figuring it out. But it was sad and shocking to see that happen this week.
But I would like to just point out that Sir Richard Branson, who is leading this charge, it is his company. He gave a beautiful speech at the crash site, and you can look at it on YouTube. And I would just wish that Sir Richard Branson was on the ballot in my state for come Tuesday, because he was so eloquent and yet inspiring, and he was certainly sensitive and thoughtful to those that had been injured and lost their life, but encouraged us to dream on and reach on. And it was pretty good. So Richard Branson for president. That's what I say.
Yeah. Right in it.
I haven't seen that. I'll have to watch that. Okay, well, that's good. It's, anything goes in a Texas election, right? Maybe he could run. Speaking of elections, I wanted to, our new signature segment that Leon launched a couple of weeks ago is a segment called Whose Bright Idea Was That Anyway? Right? She was talking about a neighborhood uprising. And we thought there are quite a few things that could fit under the rubric of Whose Bright Idea Was That Anyway? And so this morning I would like to recommend one thing that's been going on here in my home. And this is election robocalls. Are just such a terrible idea anyway. You know, when you get the pre-recorded calls from people telling you how they're voting or recommending that you vote one way or another on a candidate or an issue. But here in California, maybe it's true in New York and Texas too, we get a lot of celebrity robocalls. But this year, we're getting celebrity robocalls on Sunday morning. So I just got to say, like, this morning, Maria Shriver called me. And John Legend called me. And John Legend, the musician, is because we have, some education initiatives on the ballot here. It's like, okay, Maria, John, I enjoy hearing from you, but maybe not at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I just feel like I know the election's only 2 days away, but, like, can we confine this to, I don't know, business hours or even you're used to people ruining your dinner time, right? But morning on a weekend? Whose bright idea was that? That just seems like not a good idea. So I don't know if you guys have the same issues in your states, but in California, it's out of control.
No, we don't have a home phone line here yet, so I haven't gotten any calls, but the commercials are really aggressive this season particularly.
Oh, really? Of course, because you're a youngin', you don't even have a landline, do you?
No, we don't. I plan to get one. It's just we've been moving slowly around here. But, I actually do have an interesting comment on this election. I'm actually much more interested in than ever before. I'm not very political, so I'm not usually interested. But one of my best friends from college went home to upstate New York, and she is running for Congress. And if she gets elected, she'll be the youngest woman ever elected to Congress.
Okay. What's her name, Megan? We could do a write-in vote for her.
You should definitely write her in. She's running in, it's New York 21, I think is her district. Her name is Elise Stefanik. Her website is eliseforcongress.com. And I'm just really excited for her. She's been super duper busy for the past at least 2 years running this campaign and is extremely impressive and hardworking. And I'm really excited for her. I can't wait to see what happens.
All right. Wow, that's exciting.
That is exciting, and wouldn't it be nice to have some young, fresh faces in Congress,
Exactly.
There's so much room for improvement there. So much room for improvement. Liz, we're getting here at the end of our show, so I think, I don't know if you want to talk about the real or robots for a second?
Oh, I thought we had the terrible 32s.
Okay. Oh, well, okay.
We've got time. Go for it.
Okay. Well, Megan, then I have to ask you, because I saw an article again in the paper about a syndrome that happens to people in their 30s. And it's called the terrible, instead of the terrible twos, this is the terrible 32s. And it's when perfectly normal youngish adults in part of their development, they turn into cranky, self-pity, people over the discrepancy between the life that they have and the life that they feel they're entitled to based on popular cultural narratives. Right. That they feel that they should have the brownstone, the big promotion, the perfect husband, the children, and in fact, they don't have any of that. And I wanted to know, you're nearing your 30s there. What do you see this with any of your friends, that they're going into this period of cranky self-pity because of the discrepancies in their life?
You know, I don't. This is the first I've heard of it, and I did look up the article since we've been talking. It is hilarious. One of the symptoms they note is complicated feelings about Lena Dunham, generally resolving in envy. I think that's great. I haven't seen this in many of my friends, but I think it's kind of a failure to launch type manifestation, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I would say, Megan, if you have friends who are running for Congress and stuff, they are somehow escaping the terrible 32. You know, you have a public-spirited group, and maybe they will escape some of this syndrome. Julie, your sons who are in this age group, do you see evidence of this with them?
Well, not so. I mean, I guess, I think probably they know people that may be more advanced on their careers, I think when you enter into your 30s, you start to think about, like, are you making your way in the world the way you thought you were going to be making the way in the world? But they both seem pretty happy. I don't think they're suffering from the terrible 32s, but I think they probably know people who have the questioning that's going on. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the crankiness, right, but the questioning. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looks to me like your sons have plenty of good ways to channel their instincts in the world. The photos you sent through on Friday of your son, your daughter-in-law, and their brand new baby Josephine dressed up, the threesome, as the ingredients of a strawberry shortcake for Halloween. That was pretty adorable.
Yes. No, so they're doing fine. But I thought it was a funny article because I think I do know I have friends that have children this age, and some, just as Megan was saying, sort of the failure to launch or the idea that, some people are advancing farther in their careers or, people who, want to buy a house, as Megan knows that, you worked hard to be in a position to buy a house,
right.
Going through some of these milestones, right, that, and you generally you can't do all of them at the same time. And you probably do have a little bit of jealousy towards people who have all of it all at the same time at a young age. I do. I am jealous of these 30-year-olds.
Definitely.
Seem to have it all. It's like, how can they afford that?
That's seem to have it all but don't have to work that hard.
Yes. I'll just say that. Yeah. Okay.
Which is why I have no conflict about Lena Dunham, because she obviously works like a dog, Megan. Yes. Look at her. She's like writing TV shows and writing books, and now she's going back to movies. And she's like, she just seems like such a creative powerhouse. Like, good for her. Just go for it. You don't have to like her TV show. There's no law that says you have to like her TV show.
Right.
But, she's certainly a hard worker and an extremely original voice. So, more from her. I'm fine with that.
Yes.
We are here at an hour. We need to wrap this up. I'm introducing a new game here on Satellite Sisters, which I'm calling Real or Robot. I mentioned this last week. If you go, we urge you to join the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, which is different than the Facebook page. The Facebook group is like an open group, and anyone can post things there, and all kinds of discussions go on over there. We encourage you to participate. But you have to ask to join, and then we get an approval list. And as I've said many times on the show, I approve everyone as long as I can see that you have some actual friends, right? That you're, if you can prove to me that you're a real person, then it's all in. So, but there's some kind of weird thing going on now about people applying into groups with these fictitious names. And then as far as we can tell, once you mistakenly let them into the group, they just want to sell us sunglasses. I don't understand. Why are they all selling sunglasses? Have you noticed that? Like, yeah. All right. So this week's, our new game, Real or Robot, this week's name of the week is Sethoez Smeatas. Okay? Sethoez Smeatas. If you are a real person, please just send me another email. And if you are, then I apologize for mocking your name. But I had just never seen this name before. It's S-E-T-H. O-A-E-Z is the first name. So I'm pronouncing that Sethoez. And Smeatas, S-M-E-A-T-A-S. Sethoez Smeatas. So Sethoez, if you are within the sound of my voice, just email me again. But if you're a sunglass-selling robot, we are going to be blocking you from the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. So anyone else who wants to join, as I say, it's so easy to get in unless you're a robot. So just do that. Or if you listen to our show on our blog, that's satellitesisters.com, we love it when you go there. Please post, you can post your comments there on the blog. Remember, if the podcast, if you listen from iTunes or from Stitcher or any of the other podcast services, we love when you can like our show. We love when you can review our show. And most of all, if you can share it on to your own friends. That's the spirit of the Satellite Sisterhood. All right, sisters. So what do we have going on this week? Julie, you and Leanne will be doing a Tuesday show?
We have a bang-up Tuesday show. I can't really disclose any of the details of the show because we haven't made it up yet. But it's going to be really good this week, okay. Really good. So you don't want to miss that.
Yep. All right. Megan, happy impending holidays to you and Greg. Have a good time in the new house. What do you guys do for Thanksgiving? Do you struggle between his family there and your own family in Connecticut? How do you work that out on Thanksgiving?
Yes. Well, luckily we're close enough that we can kind of split. We'll be here with his family for Thanksgiving and then probably up in Connecticut for the weekend. So,
Okay.
That's nice. Good.
All right.
And Liz, the roof this week, will we get an update, do you think?
I'll email you before the Tuesday show and let you know what's going on. Oh. I'm just telling you, as long as it doesn't rain again, it's purely cosmetic, right? So
No, Liz, it's not. I mean, you have like rotting wood, rotting particle boards. It could be bacteria's growing there, Liz. You're in a germ factory there. You can't just say, well, it's not going to rain anymore. Liz.
Okay, you're right. Okay. No,
please do something about it.
Wheels are in motion, Julie. There's only so much I can do myself, though. But so wheels are in motion. I promise you. I'll give you an update. And so you'll hear about it on Tuesday, and then next weekend we will be back. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sisters.
You walk into the world you make, you lose yourself, but you find your way. I'm gonna watch your radiate. We turn so slow, I know it's hard to wait. But take your time, son, it's yours to take. I'm gonna watch your radiate. D-A, Ray, D-A, Ray, D-A, oh, oh, Ray, D-A. These rocks, they hold heat, pools of water cool your feet. As you walk, you believe every part of the dream.